Let's see. So if we've got some handouts, we're going to cover those briefly today. I think with that, I think once we get some handouts taken care of, what? No, there should be three pages there to share. This is Dr. Rob Lindstedt's, and he's got a ministry. It's not on this one, but I'll have a, I copied some of his things. He doesn't have a copyright, so that's why I'm passing this one out. Today, we're not violating copyright law, okay? That's a good thing, too. The other handouts are just from the Rose Bible Charts book, and they do specifically say everybody has something like this, the time chart, we're going to look at that, something like it. Rose said, specifically says you can use their materials in Sunday school class, but that's about it. I think that's what their copyright says. You cannot resell it. And next Sunday I may have another timeline here that is copyrighted, but if you all promise that you will never take that, put it in your book that gets a lucrative book deal, we should be okay, and I won't be in jail. Well, you've got the idea of what I'm going to cover here, but I am going to. I've been doing a lot of reading in Tim LaHaye and Dr. Tommy Ice. In there charting the end times, and then Ed Henson and Tommy Ice wrote another book called Charting the Bible Chronology. Do we have enough of those?
No, I got to get some more of that one copy. Ooh. Going to go to.
Oh, okay. My apologies.
All right.
We will did a lot. I pulled a lot of these things together here to put this. Those are good books to have in your library if you really want a good, concise, get right to, and then do your Bible study with those. So those are two really good books. I don't know if you have those, but those are really good books to have. So I guess we better get started by opening in prayer, and then we can start. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the continued ability that we can study your word, that we can come and worship you. Without the fear of retribution here. We thank you for the celebration that we had for Nancy's life yesterday. We pray that you guide and direct this study, and Pastor, as he brings the word today, and pray that we can, that this blessing that we can have, that this be a blessing to all, that we can glorify and honor you at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, so I pointed out, Rob Lindstedt, by the way, is the headmaster at Sunrise Christian Academy in Wichita. He's been interviewed by Brandon House. He has a website. I don't think it's on that one, but I do have another thing that I can pass out here. He has a great website that you can, he's just a good wealth of information as far as looking at the times leading up to what we call the end times. I don't know, that doesn't sound quite right. It sounds scary, but it's more in the times of as we lead up to the events that are going to lead to the new heaven and the new earth, and now that is exciting. So the end times, you know, it's kind of a little scary. Nobody really wants to think about that. And, did we get copies there? Okay. So I want to open, Rob Lindstedt, he's right, he lives in Bel Air, so Bel Air, America, Wichita, and like I say, he's got, if you want to go to his website and listen to some of the things that he's putting together that's kind of paralleling the events of what we see today with what seems to be in the Bible, and I say seems to be, I'm not the end-all authority, surprise, surprise, but it sure does appear that. So let's open. I'm going to open by if you turn to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. This is kind of what is drawing me to look at this. And I don't think I'm out of context. Too bad. But know this, Paul writes, Timothy, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. I couldn't get past that one when I read that, because this may be a shock to you, but I was an ornery kid. I'm glad that you're all seated, because I know you'd fall over that, and that carried on into my adulthood, and I have no idea how I convinced Beverly to marry me, other than she may have seen this as a ministry outreach. So, but anyway, but I digress here. Okay, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty. Not only did we have the movement of the homosexual movement here, we have it where it's proudly displayed here. So we have haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now, we've been in the last days ever since Jesus was here. And I can't say that the tribulation will begin this month or next month, but what we can say without a doubt is today we're one day closer to that event than we were yesterday. Okay? So just keep that in mind. No one's going to say, well, tomorrow the end of the world is here. So, well, somebody might say that. I'm not going to. But it could happen, but we're one day closer. So that's what prompted me to look at, as I look at the things that are going around in our world, in our country, in our whole world, they just appear to be falling into place. And we know what is going to happen, and it has to happen. Eventually, I want to get to the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 and 25. Won't be today. Like to next Sunday, but maybe not. We're introducing the introduction to what we want to cover on that one. So here's, that's the reason I picked this one. This topic. It was Ron Carlson is the one that passed away. He's had two sons, and I heard him say that one of them, they were preaching. They're both evangelists too, and he pointed out, I think I mentioned this a while back, that our entire Bible is 66 books. It's written by approximately 40 authors. And it was written over a period of about 1,500 years, and it is all working perfectly in tandem to point to Christ's second coming. Old Testament pointed to the first. There's some passages that pointed to the first. Micah comes to mind, first coming, but a lot of them point to the second coming. And I'm thinking that the Jews were confused in the fact that Christ, the Messiah, coming, was all going to be at one event. And we're going to see they're going to learn otherwise. We're going to look at the Bible. I mean, it all works in tandem. Some are directly mentioning it. Some are indirectly. Some kind of set up the other things here. But when you look at just a few of those that I got the pleasure of looking at. Isaiah, you've got Ezekiel, primarily 38 and 39. Jim went through Daniel a couple years ago. I lose track of time, but it's been a while. Matthew, of course, and hopefully we can get to that before Jim comes back. Obviously, the book of Revelation. Malachi even mentions it. Joel 3. Zechariah 14, Romans 2, and 2 Thessalonians 6, or 1, primarily 7 and 8. And I want to look at that one. I want to read that one out for us, because that paints the picture of what will happen. So let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, primarily 7 and 8, but I need to pick that up at 6. This is one of those marathon sentences. This is God's final judgment and glory. And starting in 6, we had a pause and says, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you." It's not our job to repay someone that troubles me. This is God's. "The righteous thing with God to repay, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." So those who don't know God, those who are not obeying, here's our judgment coming here. Verse 9. "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Verse 10, "When he comes in that day," which we're going to be talking about, "to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." So this is a statement, one of the many places that says the Lord will return in judgment and also to take his people with him. And the first handout is four basic views of the end time. And you had the historical premillennialism, dispensational premillennialism, which is what we're going to talk about. You have the all-millennialism and the post-millennialism. Now, the things that made sense to me the most is dispensational premillennialism, okay? And in fact, that is in our church doctrinal statement. I had to go back and read that. It's item 11 if you're interested. And so I just want to briefly talk about these others because they exist, the historical, and you have the information here. And every one of them has a deep thinker. I would call them all deep thinker pastors or religious people that have their reasons, and they have their reasons for why they choose to believe the other way. Again, it just, when you look at this, when you study this, the dispensational premillennialism, I'm not going to be able to say that very long here, so just seems to be to make sense. I think you could sit down and discuss this with someone who may have the opinion that, of course, premillennialism is the rapture happens and then the tribulation occurs and then we have the millennial kingdom. We're going to try to briefly go through all of that. The others, we can discuss this if you want to, but the others, they just don't make sense. But I just wanted you to have that. Again, that's right out of the Rose Book of charting, of Bible charts. Let's see, what else can I say about that? We're going to see that picture here. Did Jeffrey leave us with something that we could put up here? Or has he gone? He's here. Todd's running it here. If we could get that, the picture, we'll get that set up on the screen whenever. Let's go to the that one. So let's just leave that one there because that's going to be our timeline that follows into the dispensational millennialism. And you can see that was relatively a new thinking. If you look on the back of this other, this charts, the first one is dispensational premillennialism. One could argue, just sitting down with one person yesterday, said, no, the pre-tribulation rapture, I don't think I agree with that. I said, well, I could see where it could happen in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. He said, well, yeah, I think that, because I think that was his. I think we could sit down and discuss that, and when you're looking at the example. But if you're a pre-trib, pre-millennial person talking with a post-trib, and you're having a meal, you're probably going to end in a food fight. Okay? So you're not going to agree. And but again, I just want to point out that we have some people that really have done some thinking on this. Now, this is my, this is an example of what Ravi Zacharias would point out as far as the law of non-contradictory. Ravi, I think he got into a little issues there towards the end of his ministry, but he was a deep philosophical thinker. And he presented this. Now, my philosophy is pretty simple. It's, you know, I burp, therefore I am type of philosophy. But he is a deep thinker. He is has provided this law non-contradictory. When you read a provision in the Bible and one person thinks, well, I think it means this. And another person says, no, I think it means this. The law of non-contradictory is either this person's right and this one's wrong, or this one's right and this one's wrong, or they're both wrong. But they can't be both right, because the Bible is written for all of us. We should have the same understanding and the intent here. In this case, we have a lot of passages that lead to the end view, or dispensational of this world. And so you have they've developed the four various concepts of what that will be. So again, applying that law of non-contradictory, one is right, the other three are wrong. Or they're all four wrong. They can't be all four right. It's going to happen one way, God's way. And if we don't quite follow that, we didn't interpret that correctly. Because God's perfect, God provided the perfect inspiration, it was written down, there may be something lost in translation. But anyway, the law of non-contradictory would mean one is right, the other three are wrong, or none of them are right. Well, there could be a variation of some of these things. So we will find that out as we go forward in life, okay? We will see these things, we will see. That's why I think it's kind of important to kind of listen to some of these people that are watching the events, because they may be correcting themselves. And that's been my story of Bible study. I've moved from one understanding to what I think is more of a correct understanding. I'm always open to see, well, is that right or is that wrong, and test it like we're told to be as a Berean. Now, law of non-contradictory, I just want to take one pause here. That's opposed, I mean, the other side here, we do have a doctrine of concurrence. And example, did Paul write Romans or did God write Romans? Okay, Paul states at the beginning of the epistle that he's the author, but in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is provided by inspiration of God. So that would have to fit into what some have called a doctrine of concurrence. We don't understand things like that. It appears to be a paradox. I'm pretty sure in God's world there is no paradox. It's that we lack the understanding. So wanted to take that bit of a sidetrack as we get going on point one here. But anyway, our Wheatland doctrinal statement does give scriptural reference to why we believe that the rapture will happen. And then the tribulation will begin. So that's my first point here. I'm off to the second one, and that is by looking at our pictorial arrangement. Now, this one is, I'll pass this out next week, but this one is as specifically in the Olivet Discourse, the timeline that Tommy Ice and Ed Henson provided. By the way, those books, this is my theory, that the first name on a book, when you have two authors giving their research books, the first one is the marketing guy, the name that's recognized. Okay, Ed Henson was more recognized. Tim LaHaye, definitely. We've probably all seen the Left Behind or series, either the books or the movie. There's some movies out on that. And the second one, this is my theory, that's the brains between the whole thing. And you'll notice in both these books, Tommy Ice is the second one listed there. So I think that is a valid theory. I could be wrong. But Tommy Ice is left, and he's on faculty at Calvary College in Kansas City. So he's kind of close to our heart, too. So, but we'll cover that timeline. So what do we have here in the, just briefly, we have the church age, which began at Pentecost, roughly 33 AD, and is going to go up until the tribulation begins. And you notice that he has written, this is Rob Lindstedt's writings, he has written in the timeline, and that's Tommy Ice is up there, that the rapture happens at the beginning of the tribulation period. Then we have the judgments of tribulation. We have the seven seals in the first 3.5 years. We have the seven trumpets at middle, and you have the seven bowls at the end. And then you have Battle of Armageddon. Jesus does come on his return and wipes out the evil. We're going to have so much blood coming. And by the way, I had to get my horses are on this tie here. So we have a red horse and a white horse. I don't think there's a blue horse in Revelation, is there? But I got one. So just in case there is, I got one. So I have to look at that. So, just for times like this, I wore this tie. Then we're going to have that Battle of Armageddon. We're going to get a little closer detail, a little bit more on that. And then we have the millennial reign, the kingdom. You see that's a millennial, that's the 1,000-year reign, and then Satan is loosed for a short while, and Christ takes care of him, and I'm not a betting person, but I'd put a quarter on, I know who's going to win that one too. Yes? We're going to cover that. We're going to look at that. We're going to talk about that one. I'm trying to move fast, but I'm not going to move that fast. So we're going to talk a little bit about that one. We might get to it today. We might, in my introduction, we might get that comeback next Sunday. So I'll try to be here myself. So then we'll have the millennial kingdom, and then again, Satan is loosed after that, and Christ takes care of him and all of the demons, all of his followers. Again, I've got a quarter on the bet that I know who's going to win that one, and it's not going to be Satan, okay? I'd put a quarter on that. I don't bet, but I'll put a quarter on that one. So, and then that is when they're cast into the lake of fire, and that is the new heaven and the new earth. That is our eternity, the final eternity. So, you can hold on to that one. We're going to be, again, covering this. I'm going to give another copy of I'll pass that one out if you all promise not to turn me in for violating a copyright, because that is copyrighted. Otherwise, you can grab one of these books and you can look at those pictures here. So with that, we have, I'm ready for item two on my list of seven items here. In our introduction, we have 15 minutes to get these done. We can do it. Rapture, the rapture. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. If I can find that, 1 Thessalonians 4. And we're going to read, I'll get a volunteer to read verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. We'll probably have to back up and look at some of these things here, but if I have a volunteer, Delbert, okay. 16, 17, and 18 is all we need here. So.
For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words.
Okay, one comment here, or some comments on this one. It does not say that Christ will return to earth at that time. Does it? It says he will descend from heaven, but it doesn't say he will come to earth. So keep that in mind. And we, who are the we here? And I think you have to look back to, well, you can look at chapter 4, verse 1. Paul is writing, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus." So he's talking to the brethren. Now, my obvious analysis is this is the brethren and the sistren, okay? Brothers and the sisters, okay? Those in Christ. That appears to me to be an obvious. I know some of the versions of the Bible have been translated to mean that, you know, God's, you know, female or something like that, that weird stuff here. But this is obviously that that is all those in Christ. So that's who the we would be. And then let's continue on with chapter 5, 1 through 11. Because this is more information that this is going to happen. Okay? That's one thing that we all need to walk away from is we may not understand, we may get a little fuzzy on how things are going to fit there, or there may be a variation of what our preconceived ideas are, but it's going to happen, and I think this might be another provision that tells us it will happen. So if I have a volunteer, read chapter 5, 1 to 11. That's quite a few things here to read. John, yeah, why don't you do that? Thank you, John. Yes. So whether we are awake or asleep could mean probably means that we've already passed away, or we're alive. We should live together with him. We would be with him. Let's see, there's another thing here I wanted to point out. Okay, so those, whether you've passed away, whether people have passed away, the important thing is that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that is where we examine ourselves. Are we there or are we not there? Do we find ourselves there? Do we need counseling to discuss that? And hopefully that proper decision, that proper understanding of where you stand exists. So the importance here is that the labor pains upon a pregnant woman appear to be there, don't they? I mean, that's an analogy, and we're looking at a lot of analogies here. I have never gone through that myself, but unfortunately I was wearing a ring when my wife was having labor, and I almost lost my finger here. So, I mean, that's... so I don't think that was quite as much of the labor pain, but boy, it sure felt like it. So I don't have anything to compare it to. But anyway, these things are here, have happened, are happening. They do appear to be happening at this time. So that is, again, in hope, the word hope. And if you're anybody like I was before that was explained to me, that word hope is not a wish, as we use in our English language today. That is the biblical understanding, is that the knowledge of things that will happen, and we lie in wait of it. Could I say that? I probably could say that a little better, but we know it's going to happen. When we sit in hope for this day to come, it will happen. We lie in wait. We lie in preparation. Similar to what the old-fashioned woman getting married, they'd have a hope chest. When there was a marriage proposal, and they had that provision there in their hope chest, not a wish chest. Maybe, you know, does that fit into be careful what you wish for? But the hope chest that marriage is going to happen, and so they kind of make that preparation. So that's the picture on that one. So now, who is going to be raptured? We wish. No, we understand that those, for one, is going to be, let me skip down to number three, the New Testament saints. If you're looking at, first, you could jot this down, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 to 3. I'm not sure if I wanted to have this read. 2 Timothy 2, 12, but really it's 2 Timothy 2, 8 to 13. That tells us the New Testament saints. Maybe I don't want to dwell on this, but you could jot those down and look at those. We go back to Daniel. Again, Jim took us through the book of Daniel, chapter 7, 18 and 22 to 27 are my notes. That would be Old Testament saints. Okay, they didn't know specifically who our Lord was at that time, did they? He had not come, had not made himself manifest on this earth as he did in his first coming. We have the benefit of our 66 books in the Bible here to tell us that. They didn't, but there were Old Testament saints. They knew because they did have God telling prophets. And if you believe the prophets, well, a prophet could not be wrong, unlike, remember back in the days of Jean Dixon, or back in the 60s, Jean Dixon was that, she's telling, all making all these predictions. None of them came true. But she made, oh boy, she was all over Time magazine, Life magazine. You didn't do that as a prophet in Old Testament. I think you met your... I think they put a person to death if that was not correct. So, okay, so we have Old Testament saints. We have Matthew in Matthew 19, 28 to 29. It specifically says, the apostles and all who left to follow Jesus. The apostles got up and left. Well, the 12 throughout Judas, he was not the truly one there, but the other 11, they left what they did. Matthew left his lucrative business of gouging his fellow countrymen by what he did as the collector of the tax, and he had nothing to go back to. Now, the others that were fishermen, they, you know, once Christ was died and was at that point, they could go back and they began fishing, and of course, he manifested himself to him as a resurrected body too. But Matthew, he didn't have anything to go back to. So he couldn't go back and gouge his fellow countrymen. So anyway, the apostles and all who left, and then we also discussed the New Testament saints. And there's another group is going to be, they won't be raptured, but they're going to be caught up with the Lord in the air, and that will be the tribulation saints in Revelation 20, verse 4. So those who do come, yes. The tribulation at the end of, yes, they will, according to what Tommy Ice had to say here, and we're going to come to that one too, that will live in the millennial kingdom. Okay, that's according to him. You can argue with me all you want to. I'm just bringing his stuff to you, so okay. But anyway, Tommy Ice says that they will be in, we will be, well, we got, we're on item two. We're coming to that in item five here. So on my calendar or on my my outline here. So so that's the list of those who will be raptured. Of course, the tribulation saints won't be raptured because they will be they'll be beheaded in the tribulation period. So who's not? Who's going to go through the tribulation period? Well, obviously those that aren't raptured, right? As good as I'm going to be able to give you. So we will I think we have to kind of get to a stop at this point. So that is the discussion of the rapture. Oh, I think there was a few more things that talk about 1 Thessalonians 16 to 18. Yes, because the Lord will descend, we will be those first, the dead in Christ, and that explains who are the dead in Christ, the Old Testament saints, the apostles that left, they're already, the New Testament saints, those that have died, and then after they have been called up, then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord. So we're going to be with the Lord at that time. We're not at the rapture because the tribulation's coming in our timeline here that we have. The rapture would occur. We're up in the air with the Lord. And then the tribulation period starts. Again, I could see where the tribulation period could start somewhere and then the rapture happened short. I'm not going to argue with anybody there. What I would say is things are going, even if we're right that the rapture happens and the tribulation period starts, things, because of the birthing pains, those things that, quote-unquote, birthing pains, those things that are happening, life will get very difficult for us. Okay? So that is a big point to walk away with. We should still look at our joy. Paul says, I suffer for a little while before I go to, I'm messing up that quote here. But anyway, I suffer for a while on this earth before I live in glory with my Lord. So that I think we're going to have to be prepared for, just as our warning to ourselves, okay? And with that, I'm going to have to close up on the rapture and ask if there's any other questions or comments, because we're going to get and discuss the tribulation next week, and then we're going to discuss the second coming, and don't throw those slides away because we're going to look at that, and then the millennium kingdom and what happens after that. So, yes? That is my understanding, that we, at that time, when we come back with Christ, when he establishes millennial kingdom, we will be on in that millennial kingdom. There will be people that have survived the tribulation, and we're going to talk about that next Sunday, and that are not cast out. That's going to be a very difficult time for Gentiles to live, to maintain. We're already seeing how the propaganda that's coming out and controlling people's minds as of today. And I couldn't believe that when I was a kid, looking at how did Hitler get his propaganda to where all of the German people, I'm mostly German, we're not that stupid. Now, let me tell you that. But we were of that descent, anyway, in that, because of the mind control and the propaganda. And I see it. We're seeing that propaganda right now, and I don't see it getting any better. And when they take out, see the tribulation, when they take out the church, I'm getting ahead of myself here. When they take out the church, the people that are actually standing firm, there's nobody going to be able to stand up to get them in a moral conscious way, okay? So, any other comments? Yes. Correct. Right, right. That's a better explanation here. I think so. It is the Holy Spirit that is restraining, and that is a very good point. I'm glad you mentioned that. So. And you don't want to be outside of the Holy Spirit, do you? That's a very dangerous place to be. So. That's right. Yep. So there is that. We know there's going to be some bad times. We all have experienced our trials. It's not going to be anything like what's coming. So, okay. With that, we better close. We're behind schedule. So let's close with a word of prayer, and we'll get ready for service here. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the word that you've given us. The word that's brought to us in our Bible. We thank you for your writing to us, that we can learn and we can understand that your will be done on this earth and in heaven. And we ask that you guide and direct us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.